22nd of December 2015 in the Lucy Coleman studio. This is PJ, your internet pastor. Doesn't feel like the holidays to me. I'm sorry. Doesn't. It's gloomy, overcast, gray, kind of like, ugh, that kind of a feeling. I had to get up early, drop off my car in the shop to have some regular maintenance done on it. And back here in the studio trying to get started, trying, really, really attempting to make a very good chance at getting started doing something here. Can't quite get it together. Don't want to talk about anything on the news. Nothing on politics snatches me. Nothing interests me. Food doesn't. I had to make myself a protein smoothie because I have to put some nutrients in me. Don't feel like eating. Bored. Just a general depression, I guess, about this time. It doesn't seem to be the way it was before when I thought about this time of the year. Of course, I thought about the historical backdrop and all of the misgivings about this holiday season. A lot of people get depressed because they don't have money. They can't buy gifts. That's not why I'm depressed. Let me tell you a story. I was out yesterday with my brother. He had to take care of some legal business. And I was out with another young man, and we were out on the west side, and somebody began to speak with us, and he said that he really appreciated talking with us. And as the young man left, he says, "I really love you guys." And the person that was with me said, "Why did he say that?" And I said, "There are some people that genuinely appreciate having transparency with other individuals. There are certain individuals out there that do not mind corresponding with other human beings, that likes to talk with them, likes to communicate. There's something about those people. Those are the good people," I was saying. But there's so many bad people on the planet these days, and sometimes the bad people behavior and everything kind of like outweighs the good people's behavior. And so that's what we're confronted with, I think. Let me give it to you like this. I think you'll understand me a little bit better. And let me close this door. Hold on. Everything that's going on in the world today, when I come upon this holiday season, it is not necessarily just a season to be jolly. It's a Christmas season. It's a time when I remember when I came up, and not believing the fantasy, but knowing it for real. It was a time when we looked at, and I'm not talking about celebrating Christmas, because how do you celebrate the good times of having love shed abroad in your heart? How do you do that? Well, what you do is you live daily. But human life without Christ, to me, is crises. Now, this is what I mean. Prior to these modern days, and I got to tell you, I've been living a long time. I just watched on one of my computers, SpaceX send up a rocket ship with about 6 to 11 satellites in it. And the first stage of the rocket ship that they sent up came back out of space and landed on a pad without crashing. For the first time in human history have I ever seen that. The people in SpaceX went mad. I leaned back in my chair in the office and I watched that as a 71-year-old man. It was like looking at an old Flash Gordon black and white television series. A rocket took off from a launching pad, delivered its cargo in outer space, and the first stage of the rocket came back down to Earth and landed on a pad. SpaceX, here in December of 2015. You're talking about witnessing something that I've never seen before in my life. And I'm thinking right now that that's kind of, what do you call it? It's kind of apocalyptic, so to say. I'm looking at things that I never thought that I'd see. And I'm feeling like, well, I gotta say it. It's so extraordinary to me that I'm feeling like time is wrapping up, for me anyway. There's not too much that I can experience in this life. It's blowing my mind. You know, they had to give me because I put my Mini Coupe in the shop. So they had to give me another one to drive, and it's a later model. I promise you, I didn't know how to do the car. I said, what kind of a car is this? They said, no, you don't put the key in, because I have to slide my key in a little deal. And I'm telling you, they just took the key of my car. They took the key of my car when I took it down, and they put it in a computer, and it showed everything about my car. I was amazed. I looked at this. Hey, I guess I'm happy, but I feel a little out of place. I feel out of whack. I feel displaced. And everything is on my phone. Everything. They can listen to me. My phone, I can talk to people where they are from my phone. That is just so amazing to me. I can understand it happening because everybody else has phones like this, but the technology and all that stuff is just so amazing that I don't know whether to thank God for the technology or wish that I can go back to the way it was. I don't know which is better. I'm really at odds with all of this stuff because, and then I feel displaced, out of whack, because if I'm not a part of it, what, you know, and I think it has to do with Christmas and everything else, you know. I went by, I spoke to my daughter. I told her how I was feeling. And she just said, Daddy, it's a difficult time for a lot of people. Love is wax cold in this world. There is so much distrust amongst us as human beings. It's like, what do I do? What can I do to make the season to be jolly? Well, it's not about fun. A lot of people are depressed. Finances are depressed. My finances are depressed. I had to buy a set of tires for my car. My car, the drive around on the city streets here, I have to upgrade my car, keep it serviced, and I'd hate for my vehicle to break down on me. You know, because once your car breaks down and you can't get around in Los Angeles, you just, ooh. So many people in the city now. You guys don't feel what I feel. I feel like I come down my street to go in my driveway. Thank God I can get in excess into my driveway, into my property. But there's cars everywhere, just everywhere. And a lot of people in the city. And I think about, if a catastrophe or something like that breaks out, I was telling my daughter, please don't go shopping. Don't go out there and get in the midst of all those people out there. That's, you don't need to do that. There's nothing that important out there. There's, I don't know. Then I'm, you know, I want to go to church. I want to go to church again, but I hate to go to church because when I go to church, they're always doing things that's not biblical, and it so turns me completely off. They're lying, and it looks like everybody is just into lies. They believe anything. And this is what I was thinking about doing. And because I have the books and everything here, and I was thinking about just simply maybe end up this year's webcast and open up 2016, if God's going to give us that much time to continue to go, giving you an historical cast about the historical man Jesus. Okay, just based strictly on the scripture without any Time magazine and all that kind of stuff. Is this the real Jesus that existed? All that. Let's not go there. Let's not do that. It is said that Jesus came to bring peace on earth. Now, what kind of peace? Irene, okay? It's a world peace that comes from an a priori sense of God. This peace comes from outside of us into our hearts and causes all of the frustration and the calamity and the disdain and the uncomfortableness to disappear. That's what I need to happen in me. I need that kind of God peace to come in me and calm me down. That's what I'm trying to say. This year, it hasn't been able to calm it down. There's so much going on, and you don't see it, even in the faces of the people in the society that I live amongst. There's frustration all around us, like we're waiting on some event to take place. I think it's a little bit of what we see on our televisions. I don't watch it. Some of the young men watch it, and it's horrible. I can't watch this stuff that they're watching that they call entertainment. I was looking for the movie by the movie called The Party that was made in 1968. Okay, with the British star starring in the movie, because it made me laugh, and I saw a few clips of it on YouTube, and it still made me laugh. And I recall that because at Christmas time we would watch it as a family. It was just a silly slapstick comedy, just something silly, but it made you, there's not too much laughing in our society now. I mean, people's families are hating other families, or if not hating themselves. I was talking with my grandchildren last night, and I heard something, and it blessed my heart. They told me where their daddy took them. Their daddy took them to a concert, because my grandchildren are teenagers, and I just hugged them, and I just felt the love, and tears came in my eyes. And I was telling Leslie, my daughter, I said, I don't get too many moments like this when I can hug my grandkids and say, oh gosh, I'm so happy that my family is safe and that nobody's in the hospital. You know, I remember when my wife was in the hospital, and that was terrible for my daughters, and they came through like champions. And God has always been so good to my family, and I thank him for it. I don't thank him often enough for the well-being of my family, that my family is fine, that my daughters are both fine, my grandchildren are fine, and their extended families are doing pretty well. I haven't seen them the way I want to see them, no. But I can't shake this feeling. This feeling like something is going to happen. I can't shake it. I don't know what it is. I pray. sometimes I feel like my prayers, you know. My daughter told me, she says, Daddy, you do well for a lot of people. You really help a lot of people. You open up their eyes. And we as a community, as a nation, we have to come into a mindset. Let me see if I can get this right. We must come into a mindset where we are all collectively focusing upon God in a good way, in a love way. There's not enough of that going on. There's too much selfishness. I was speaking with my brother. He was telling me that where he lives in Los Angeles, he told me when I had to pick him up and take care of some business, take him down to the federal building, down on Wilshire. And he told me, whatever you do, don't come by where I live at night. And you have to understand, I grew up on that part of town. We did. We came up on that. He just said, don't come over here at night. And he showed me the streets and the street corners. There's more people living in the street in that part of town than ever before. I had never noticed them. And he laughed and he said, oh, Junie, you should see. I mean, people living in it's a dog-eat-dog world. He says that the youngsters in his neighborhood can roam the streets, and at night they'll just say, the first person we're going to see, we're going to light him up. We're going to shoot him. Why? Number one, the youngsters don't have any parents. The parents were on crack. They're the offspring of crack people. People smoking this crack. They have no God in them, no moral standing at all. I mean, these are human beings that I've seen, and they can look at me and just size me up for what I have. I would hate for my grandson to be living in that part of town, because he walks home from junior high and he wouldn't make it. He doesn't belong to a gang scene. Somebody would shoot my grandson, you see, and that's what I'm thinking about. If these things would take place without any, and then I understand why some of these cops just shoot these boys and just do them like that, because the cops see them as animals. I tell you, I was speaking with my brother yesterday. I don't know what he was in jail for. I don't know. I don't know when it took place. But he told me when LAPD picked him up one day, and he said that the 3 days that they had him in custody, they beat him mercilessly. I said, what? He said that his girlfriend came to the place to bail him out or something, and she didn't know who he was. I'm speaking to my brother when I went to pick him up to take him. And I said, Ross, what? I mean, I guess that helped brought on my depression somewhat, because that's my brother. Sometimes, you know, I've always been truthful with you guys on this website. I don't know what to do. I go to God, I don't know what to do. You shouldn't have to live like that. Not in a civilized country. You know, he just stays with his shotgun out. He says, if anybody comes in or tries to come in on me, I showed him where I keep my pistol. I said, I keep it locked up. He says, locked up? He says, where I live, you never lock it up. You leave it out. I mean, it's like the wild, wild west. I'm trying to permeate, take all this stuff in, you know? See, what am I supposed to do with it? I mean, this is a kid that when Christmas time came, we were poor. We slept in the same bed together. I remember when it was Christmas time and Ross would kick me, wake up, let's go. My mom and dad had an apartment, and he said, come on, let's go see if there's some toys under the tree yet. And I used to tell him, you know, Daddy and Mommy is wrapping those toys up. They told us to stay in this room. No, let's go and see if we can see Santa Claus. Okay. Mm-hmm. We were talking about Vietnam because we were both in the Army. He was stationed there, and I was stationed in Korea. And he's suffering tremendously from diabetes, which could have been brought on by his drug usage. I don't know. And I think that my depression comes because he's explained to me the extent of his diabetes, and I never consider what that disease does or did, because I've never had a disease like that. And it's debilitating, and he walks and all of that, but he has no feeling in his legs and his hands. He can't drive anymore because they've taken his driver's license. They don't want him behind the wheel of a car. That's why I had to take him down to take care of some business. He can't drive. Incomprehensible for me. And so I guess, and I'm looking at the sorrows of everyone else, have always been that way, and I feel bad for them, and it depresses me, and I don't know how to pull myself up out of it. I'm not one of those kind of guys that say, well, hell, that's their problem. You know, I ain't got no problem like that, so I'm okay. Nah. I've always been one that try to carry everyone's load, but I can't carry these things. I'm only human. It's a winter break, so that means I will not be working, and I can get everything done in this office. You know, I keep saying after Christmas, then I'll be saying after New Year's, then after New Year's I'll say after my birthday, February the 8th, and I'll be right where I was today, nowhere, procrastinating and not thinking about progressively doing what I'm supposed to do. I want to change that. I want that to turn around, but it's not going to turn around unless God turns it around for me. Because I can't deal with this. I can't deal with all this that's going on. The fear. I saw that movie. Oh, my gosh. We Americans, we eat too much. We eat the wrong kinds of food. We're fat. We look like a bunch of pigs. There's something wrong with us. There was a time when I grew up at Christmas time, you didn't see all these fat baby mamas and these obese children in the fourth grade in middle school, just obese. And what are we feeding them? The garbage in these fast food restaurants. That's all I see out here in this neighborhood where I got in my car and I was driving and I said, okay, it's lunchtime. What are the people eating? All pulling up in front of Mac something, eating that junk. My brother told me that he doesn't eat any meat at all. Any meat. Fish meat, bird meat, beef meat, anything. I said, really? He says, and my health is much better. And see, my brother's on the same kick that I'm on. Because that other stuff just slows you down, clogs you up. This may sound like a very depressing. It isn't depressing. I have to get out of this some kind of way. I don't know whether you've ever been here. And I don't want to take my meds. I don't want to do anything. I want to remain cognizant of everything. See how far I can go with it. I have tons of work to do. And I'm thinking that I just need to relax a little bit more and enjoy a little bit, a couple more days freedom. And then maybe I'll kick in, maybe after Christmas. because it's kind of difficult for BJ right now. Lot going on. Okay. See, I'm feeling good because I got somebody asking me what am I doing. That's the only thing that gets me out of my slump. Let me see. Yeah, that's the only thing that'll get me out of my slump is if somebody really comes by and talks to me and give me a heads up. So that's what I think I'm going to do. I'm going to have this young man. He's trying to contact me. He's about 25. And he'll probably get me involved in some intellectual stimulus conversation to keep my mind stimulated. And I'll find myself going. Because if not, I'm so depressed. What I would do is I will just get depressed and go to bed. That's what I do. I just get depressed. See, you can tell when depression does that, you know, because you put on your PJs, you take a shower, put on your PJs, and you get in the bed and you stay there until Christmas is over. I don't want to do that. Y'all don't have to pray for me if you don't want to. I'll be all right. There's someone here at the house with me, and I'm doing well. But just a depressing time. And for those of you, if you've ever, especially you olders, you senior citizens, if you ever feel like that way, that is very normative. It's very normative because things are not the way they used to be. I mean, look at SpaceX. Man, when they had the celebration at SpaceX, I looked at all those young people. All those young people, Lord willing, they're going to live 40, 50 years beyond me. And I'm saying, look at what these kids can do. And I thought about the beauty of education and of college, math classes, technology classes, because it's those kinds of brains that makes those kinds of things take place. But most of the people that live in my community will never do anything like that. So you see, my depression stems from the fact that I live in a community where that first stage rocket coming back means absolutely nothing to them. They would say, what? So what are you doing? Yeah, let me ask you this. Let me try to jump out of this. Let me try to crawl out of this hole of depression. What are you doing this holiday season, and why are you doing it? All right, you know, if you're going to buy gifts, why are you buying it? Do you need them? No. All right, do you need the money? Yes. Did you need the new gadget? No. I was speaking to Terrence here. I got to buy something for my son. I see your son's not even a year old. Why? Why are you doing that? Well, I said, but that's stupid. Why are you doing something? Oh, don't mess up my week because you're bored. You're making me bored. No, it's not that. I'm curious. Why did I buy my children stuff like that? Because I was married and my wife said, you're going to get it. And if I didn't do that, my house would have been upset. That's reason enough. I did that because Lucy told me that I need to do that. And I needed to do that. I was there. Now I'm not there. Lucy is not here. Don't have any children around me. If I did, I still wouldn't buy them anything because they wouldn't know. They wouldn't even know what the 25th of December is. What is the significance of it? I won't get into that. No. Matter of fact, a good friend of mine just told me recently on the, he says there's nowhere, and he was right, because I told him when he sat under my tutelage when he was in the church, there's nowhere in the Bible that tells us that we should recognize the birthday of Christ. Anywhere. Anywhere. The only time you read anything about anybody coming together to remember anything is when the Christians come together and they commune with one another. What we try to do is we try to put communion. Well, you're told to take communion. No, we're not. He says, as often as you do this, as you commune together, remember me when you come together. That's all that is. But this grape juice and this bread, that's good to do. It keeps it there. But you're not commanded to do that. Like some magic formula takes place if you do that. That's what I'm saying. A pastor friend of mine asked me, when I come to church and hear him sing Christmas carols, I said, what? I said, Joe, we're over 70 years old. What? I don't want to hear you sing. What? What would I want to hear you sing for? And then he said, well, you can sing with me. I said, nah, I don't think so. Mm-mm. I understand from his daughter when she spoke to me, she said he was offended by that. And I, what am I supposed to do? We were just talking in a supermarket place somewhere. And I just told him, no, I decline. Well, I'm drinking this smoothie. Some of it got caught up in my straw. Mm. I wonder what happened when he went there and he sung Sunday. I wonder when, because I put on some Christmas records. I put it on and it brought back feelings and memories back in the day when my family was here and all that. But I was thinking of other people. So many people on the streets today, living on the streets, that had the same memories that I have, that have the same depressions that I have, and impressions about life as I have. I asked my brother, I was with him yesterday, there it is. I'm at the end of the protein smoothie. Thank the Lord. That was delicious. Just delicious. I asked my brother, what did he think of the elections coming up and everything, and who did he think was going to be elected? My brother's a black man like myself, 2 years younger than me. I'm 71, so he's about 69. And the word just came right out of his mouth, just like water. He said, Trump, of course. I mean, just like that. We had not even discussed any of this. But he said, Donald Trump is going to be the next president. And I said, so you don't think? He said, of course not. He said, Hillary's sweet. Come on. America's going to put a strong man in there. Now he's not. But Bush wasn't smart. But, you know, we're kind of like, and why is it that my brother and I are right on the, and we're not conservatives. We are not conservatives, let me tell you. Nor are we staunch liberals. As a matter of fact, my brother doesn't vote, and I don't vote. But we have the same temperature, so to say, when we look at the world that we live in. He looks at these youngsters that listen to this music, and he says, Junie, that's my nickname. He says, Junie, they're gone. They're gone. He says, keep it in mind, their parents, a lot of their parents were on crack. And so now they're the offspring of crack parents, whose grandparents had given up on their kids. And they're the children of the parents that were born in the 80s and 90s. And now these children are grown and all they known is smoking something. And so my brother and I were talking about what the federal government is left to do in the year 2016 before 2016 ends, because they can't let this outrageous behavior that is going on. You see, our policemen are becoming more and more separated from reality because they have to go out and deal with these youngsters who have no moral fiber in them at all. My ethics class next semester, hopefully I'm going to be working on the ethics class and working on my formats a little bit deeper. And what I'd like to do is I'd like to present an ethic that shows exactly where this generation is today, and then where we would try to figure out is how in the world do we survive this kind of behavior. Just horrific. How do you do it? How do you get the babies back? I had a friend of mine, he called me from back east, and he just said right off top, he says, when California breaks off and falls in the ocean. And I said, how dare you? I know that there's a lot of wickedness that comes from this state that I'm living in. But the United States of America, my God. We're living in those kinds of times when good men found the right thing to do, there's not enough men to help perpetrate that right thing. Not enough. And for the first time, I'm at a loss. I have no words. And I think that the answer has to come from the young people themselves. There has to be something coming up from that. I mean, this moral balance that's going to bring that back. Oh, well, that's all I have to say. I don't have too much other things to say because I'm not feeling on the top of my game today. And I don't want to go into any news report because if I get into that with me feeling depressed about it, I'm going to put the wrong tenure on there. So what I'll probably do, people, is I wait a few days after Christmas and the holidays. They got that new movie out, that Star Wars movie. I'd love to go see that movie one day this week, just to relax, see it in an almost empty theater and enjoy the film. And I may do that. But whatever I do, I'm going to have to keep God first in my mind and tell him how I feel. I would say this as I end up. God, I feel like I just want to go in a cave and turn out the light. Not hear any music. Not hear any conversation. But just know that I can hear the beating hearts of my friend. And I would say to God, when I feel that there's a heart in pain, let me stop in this journey and bring comfort to him. That's all we need to do. Stop and bring comfort to another human being. Then they'll bring back that season to be jolly. Fa-la-la-la-la. La-la-la-la. I think so. It's something that we're looking for. Deck the halls. Yes. Fa-la-la-la-la. Not folly, but philiety. this exuberant amount of joy that comes because God sent a Savior into the world. Christ our Lord. We would sing the Christmas carols long ago, but now most of our music is about party, getting high, whoring somebody, and even bringing God into the midst of your debauchery. I'm not talking about that. I kind of like it the way it is, just plain love for one another. And you watch how God's going to bless us. God bless you. Thank you for coming to my website. Thank you for praying for Pastor John. And did you know that while I'm doing this webcast, it's getting darker and darker. And it is, I'm telling you the truth, it is, what time is it right now? It's getting darker and darker, and it's 12:48 in the afternoon. And I just, oh. Anyway, thank you for coming to the website. You know the drill. Stay into the Word. I'm going to have some Bible for you within the next couple of days. That's the only thing that can lift me up out of this, is to look at some of me or to teach me or something. Because I have to get out of this. This is terrible, terrible for me. And don't like it. But anyhow, God bless you. You know the drill. You stand to the Word also. It's a lifesaver.